Jesus, because we realize that it is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who you, Lord God, to give all praise and glory to the name of your Son that you have exalted in all the heavens and in the God of tomorrow. So, Father, we want to bless you today. We want to bless you tomorrow, O God, into eternity. And we thank you for the times that we have blessed you in the past. And, Father, we thank you that you brought us through all the things that we've been through in our lives, no matter what it was, Lord God, to bring us to this very second, that we might also give you praise right now. So, Father, we want to just ask you to be with us this morning. Look over those that are sick, Father. We thank you. Some of them that were sick last week, you healed them. And they're doing better now this week, Father. And we want to thank you for what you did for them. And, Father, whoever else right now might be on a bed of affliction, we ask you to touch their body, touch their mind, lift them up, oh God, and hear glorious. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said together, amen. Hallelujah. We want to thank God for his word and for his son. Amen. We've been having some discussions over at St. Timothy Christian Church, which we're located at 11532. So we're here online to be with you this morning. And so we want to thank God for you tuning in. But we, sir, walk with the Lord. Somebody wrote a song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. So we want to know the benefits, start to meditate on that. When we start to think about it all the time and factor Christ into everything, the truth is there's a lot of stuff we can't do if we factor Christ into it. But there's many things that we still do, and we want to talk about that today. How do we come up with a revelation? In other words, God's opening up and revealing from his word how to get the greatest benefit from our relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And we want, if you've never met Christ and you don't know who he is or understand how central he is to everything in this creation, we want you to understand that today. So we always like to minister to others who have not come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's our primary purpose as the church, because Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out, he had finished his mission that came all the way out of eternity up until the hill called Calvary. Back in those days, 2,000 years ago, he was born, roughly, we say 2022, because the calendar is actually a reference to the birth of Christ. And so 33 years from the birth of Christ, and about a half a year, Jesus was crucified in order to fulfill what his father had written in the law and in the prophets. And he did this not just for the Jew, and we're going to talk about that today, because God had sanctified the Jews and brought them out to be a separate people for his own possession for a lot of reasons. The more we think about it, the more beautiful it becomes, the fact that God separated a people for his own possession. And but the fact is, even when he had done that, he never would reject a Gentile. That would be anyone else that's not a Jew. He never rejected any of them because they did not believe. In other words, he'd reject them if they didn't believe. But let's put it this way. Let's say if they did believe, he never rejected even a Gentile, even in the time when he was working with the covenant people, the Jews. So the Jews are a special people to God. God has sanctified them, and he did it for a purpose of being able to provide his son, Jesus, the Messiah, to the whole world. And anyone along the way who understood what God was doing, and God tried to make sure they did, because he made his people special so that they would stick out among the crowd. They wouldn't be like everybody else in the world. They wouldn't take up the ways of the Gentiles or the ways of the flesh or the ways of the world or the ways of the devil as much, because they had the influence of God's word, and the guidance of his word was going to keep them separated from other people. That was God's intention. Although, we have to add, just to put in a point here, they didn't do it perfectly, even though God had made it that way. They did not perfectly serve God, but God still trusted them with, as Paul says in Romans 9, with the oracles of God. He gave them his very word, dispensed it through the Jews throughout all those years for 42, really longer than that, for 42 generations, let's say from Abraham until the time of Christ. Up at that time when Jesus was born, God was entrusting his word to the Jews. Now, we would say in the Bible that that's from Moses to Malachi. Moses tells us everything from the creation of the world on up to his time and past that time into the giving of the law, which was to be a governor for the people, to give them a set of things that were acceptable to God in order for them to not be like everybody else in the world. Because the world had already went bad. The history of that is given by Moses, and he talks about how God had to destroy the whole world with the flood in the days of Noah. Then he talks about the separating or the dividing of the Gentiles, and finally about the calling of the covenant people. And so God called those covenant people. Y'all who study with us, you know we do talk about this all the time around St. Timothy Christian Church, that the people who God separated, he did it in order to put a barrier of righteousness that would continue on and be passed on down through the generations. So the whole world wouldn't go bad again. God's mind was always on the whole world. I want to let you know something today. God's mind is on you. He loves you just like you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. He has sent his son to save you, and if you trust him, he will. Many of us have learned that, and so now we get the privilege to share it with other people. Because there is hope for you, no matter what's going on, no matter how dark things may be or seem in your life. God has never let you down. You're still here, and God is able to pick you up from here and take you into a richer, more full life. And that's what he really wants to do. He wants to bless your life and give you a peace that passes all understanding. So today for our topic, just to move on a little bit, I want to talk with you about some things that we have compiled here to bring us a little closer to Christ in 2022. Now, we said Christ has been in us. Many of you have been saved for many years. Some of y'all just recently got saved. If you did, you know that Christ has manifested himself to you. He has given you an understanding of who he is and how he is integral in your life. We've had some recent baptisms at our church, and some people just recently decided to dedicate their lives to Christ. And so God is moving. He's always on the move. He's looking for more individuals. It's not his desire that any would perish, the scripture says, but that all should come to repentance. And we're going to talk about that today. That's a very key thing. So the Bible teaches that the saved are chosen by God from before the foundation of the world. In other words, before God made anything, if you're saved, it's because he selected you before the foundation of the world. That's an awesome fact. It's kind of really hard to wrap your mind around because you think, okay, before God made anything, he chose me. It's very humbling when you think about it, but it's true because it's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 1 in the fourth verse says that he found us or chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And we're going to talk about that a little more. That's a very humbling thought because Jesus even taught us, he taught his disciples that you did not choose me, but I chose you. You seek me. He has selected us, and he did this even before time began, the scripture says, which is a very, very deep and humbling thought. So God has chose us this, and this is a great truth, one of the facts written in Holy Scripture, and therefore requires us to study this teaching to realize that is revealed in the Bible about each one whom God has foreknown. This is the language the scripture says. We're going to talk about that this morning. Whom he has foreknown. That means he knew you way before he created anything. God had an intimate understanding. You are not an accident. You were planned by God, and God placed you in the world for a particular purpose and a reason. And, you know, everything, a lot of stuff in your life may be militating against this fact. But the fact is, if you're here, God has preserved you. He has kept you, and he loves you just like you are. But I always like to say this, and it's true, that he loves us too much to leave us like we are. He wants us to be better men and women than we are right now. And he is the one who is bringing that process to pass. So we need to realize that this teaching will help us to apply the blessing that is revealed in the Bible about each one whom God has foreknown. He has called, justified, and glorified. That's the process. God foreknew you, he called you, he justified you, and he glorified you. We're going to talk about those in more detail. Which is the progress in the lives of the saved pending completion. God says you are a work in progress. Did you know that? God's not done with you yet. Some days we are done with ourselves and we put ourselves down. And but God is not done with you yet. Sometimes we look at somebody else in the church or out of the church and we say, oh, you know, God's done with them, you know, because it looks like they went off the rails. But the fact is, God loves you and he's still on board. And he's bringing you somewhere, and you haven't gotten to the completion of what God is planning for you. God has a whole bit of things all written in His Word that He's planning for you to bless you in your life. Keep that in mind. So that's the reason why we're still here. I looked at some reckless times in my life and I say, I know it's God's grace and His mercy the reason why I'm here, because I could have been out of here many, many days ago. And so now I'm at a point with the Lord and my understanding of His Word that I'm prepared for such a time. But before, I was way out of what I would call preparation, but God knew me, and it was a good thing He did. I'm not giving myself any credit. I'm giving Him 100% credit, because He knew me and He had called me. He foreknew me, and He let me know at a particular time in my life that you are mine and I am His. So I began to respond to God. That's the big thing. Are you responding to God? God loves you. He has called you. He has blessed you, and He wants to bless you even more. There may be somebody listening who has never even considered this. And if it is, just keep listening. I want you to know God loves you, and He has made a way for you, and He's revealing it to you right now as time goes on. So this is what we want to talk about. Therefore, let us study this magnificent fact, which I am calling the revelation of the manifestation of Christ in us. This is the thing I want you to understand today, is that God has revealed His Son, Jesus Christ, in all of time, made Him the most famous individual on the planet. You may not hear this on the evening news, but the truth is God has centered Christ right in the middle of your life so that He can bless you with the knowledge of Christ. Now let's go back and take a look in the Old Testament at a passage here from the psalmist, who is David, who was also the king of Israel. And some of you know something about King David. Now these notes can be found on our website at teachingbible.org. If you happen to be at your computer and you want to follow me in the reading, or open your Bible to Psalms number 36 for one. And this is to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The aggression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before His eyes. See that? That's how the wicked think. There's no fear of God. They do stuff. That's why we see so much recklessness in the world, is that people who don't know God don't realize that God observes everything they're doing. He observes everything that everyone is doing, but this particular portion of the psalm says that the wicked do not realize. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God in my eyes. People go around and ignore God. That's one of the reasons why we see so much violence, so many careless things, reckless things, thievery, all kinds of inconsideration against other people, because people don't think that there will be a day of accountability. The truth is, God sees everything and knows everything. Moving on, this is a description, these first few verses by the psalmist, of how godless people are thinking and the way they think. And this may remind you of how you used to be, if you're being very honest. For notice this, speaking about the wicked. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. See, people keep on doing what they do until it gets them in trouble, we could say. Until they find out later on this is unacceptable and it's going to only get you in trouble. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Now, that's a great description of how folks are when they're lost, when you don't know God. You could care less what happens. All I care about is me, what I want to do, what I need, what I want. All my desires are higher than that of someone else's safety or anything else, really. They put themselves in the position of God, and they don't even hate evil because they continue to practice it day by day. So the psalmist is trying to give us a picture here of how fallen human beings are versus those who receive the mercy of God. Let's move on to verse 5. Psalms 36 and 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, notice that, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. God is the one keeping everything going. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. In other words, God is protecting us, like the image there is of a bird covering over her young, basically covering over her young and protecting them like a mother would protect her children. says, how excellent is thy loving kindness. Keep that in mind. He says that they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. See that God says, I have a plan for you and a purpose for you, and they shall be abundantly satisfied. Keep that in mind. God is looking to satisfy our deepest needs. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. See, it's in God's light. God is the one that opens our eyes and causes us to see what is right and what's good and what's pure and what's holy, what's righteous, and gives us a desire for that versus how we would be if we were still lost. And he says, oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. See, those are the people who work against you in life. And he calls it in the singular, the foot of pride and the hand of wicked. Let them not remove me. They are the workers of iniquity, fallen. They are cast down, and they shall not be able to rise. So God says people who continue to practice evil are on a path of destruction. But it's God's mercy. This is what we want you to see today. Even if that happens to describe someone's life, God says, my mercy is available for you. Even though you're not thinking about me, I'm thinking about you. I love you just like you are in the midst of all of your filthiness and all of your wretched ways. And I've given my son for you so that you can be saved. It's a wonderful thing to think about, the fact that it is God who delivers us. And it's God who brings us forth out of darkness and sets us into his marvelous light. I want you to look at a passage quickly as we move on into Romans chapter number 8. Now, this is the principal part of this lesson. Romans 8, verse 26, speaking about how do we get from, and I just want to ask the question, how do we get from being lost to being saved? Who is it that's doing that work? Who is it that's given that revelation to move us out of the category of the lost to the category of the saved? And I want you to know there's a lot of debate about this in Christian circles, but the truth is, according to the Bible, God is the one that wakes you up out of the dead. We don't suddenly get smart and go, oh, you know, I think I need the Lord. That doesn't ever happen. God always calls you. He catches you right in the middle of your mess, like this psalmist here speaks of in Psalms 36, right in the middle of rejection of God, not thinking about him, doing it my way, getting what I want, all the kind of things that we see going on. And God's mercy and kindness wakes us up and draws us to him. And I want you to see it here in the book of Romans chapter 8. Now, the reason is that when we're all fallen because Adam's sin has permeated the entire human family. We come into the world dead in our trespasses and sin. And it's God, the Holy Spirit, that wakes us up and gives us the understanding of how bad we are and how wretched we are and why we need to be saved. He gives us a thirst and a desire for salvation. And only God can do that. He wakes you up. You don't suddenly get smart and figure out, you know, sometimes the trouble we get in makes us start thinking about who is God and all that. But God is even using the trouble in your life and everything else that he works. The scripture says he works all things together for good to the ones who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. Let's read Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who understands the infirmity of the lost human soul. He understands that, and we don't even know. Even when you get saved, you sometimes, and I know I can experience this myself, I've experienced it personally, that you don't even really know what to ask God for. Have you ever been like that? Where there's a situation going on, and you go, okay, it's not good, it's not right. There's either some situation in somebody else's life, it's a great catastrophe, I have no idea how to help them, or what I can say to them, or what can I do for them, or how can I get this nephew, this niece, this cousin, this brother, this uncle, this friend, to stop what they're doing and realize they're on a path of destruction. And there's stuff we don't know. It's above our heads. But God knows all about it. And the good thing is the Holy Spirit, which is given to every believer, he understands our infirmity, is what it says here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to God in a heavenly way that only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit really understand. It's such a deep level of connectivity between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows the call, those ones whom God has called. And he knows what you need, even though you don't know what to ask for. Yes. And so he utters prayer for you. Sometimes you just pray till you run out of words. You get like Hannah. You ever read over there about Hannah in the Old Testament? She wanted a son. She wanted a child. She had no child, and her husband went and got another woman and started having children with her after a while because she wasn't producing. And that really broke her heart. Can you imagine that kind of drama? We have a lot of baby mama drama today in our time. But back then it was going on. There's nothing new under the sun. And so Hannah was broken down. She didn't know what to do. She went to the temple. She worshiped God all the time. She said, I do everything right. But Lord, why can't I have a son? Have you ever thought about Hannah? She's one of my favorite people in the Bible. Here she is. She's doing everything right. But yet she's being misled. She's being mistreated. She's not getting anything that she really wants. And so even in the midst of her turmoil, she went in and she began to pray. And she fasted and wept and went to the altar and just prayed till she ran out of words. And next thing you know, her mouth was moving, but she wasn't saying anything. So this is the intercession of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is getting into her life and getting into her needs. And he knew exactly how to communicate to God what was in Hannah's spirit, what she really needed. And so she began to pray. The priest was so out of it, he was so unspiritual, he thought she was drunk. He said, woman, you must be drunk. Get up from there, you woman of Belial. He called her a demonic woman, told her, get up and what are you doing? And she said, no, my Lord, I'm praying, I'm pouring out my soul before God. See, she was a woman of prayer. She said, I got to get this situation under control. But now I want you to see something. What she prayed for was that God would give her a son. She said, Lord, if you just give me a son, I will give him back to you. And her prayer was actually in concert with Almighty God. God was the one who wanted Samuel to be born, her son. So he gave her, blessed her with that son. He came to be known as Samuel. He was a pivotal figure in the scripture and the transitional person between the judges, the period of the judges and the period of the prophets. But her prayer was in concert with Almighty God. See, God had a plan for her son, even though she hadn't had one yet. And it was out of the depth of her poverty and her lack that she prayed to God and asked him to bless her with a son. And God said, this is the son I'm going to use to alter the whole course of Israel. And so he did. Her prayer was in concert with Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? Something that's a deep need in your life, God may want to provide it for his purposes and for his plans. So when you feel burdened with a need or a desire for someone else or even for yourself, just pray. Go in prayer and God the Holy Spirit will kick in as he did in the case of Hannah. That's just one example. We could probably show you a number of ones in the scripture, but for the conservation of time, let's keep moving. We want to talk about that intercession of the Holy Spirit. He is there for you. He knows what you need. Sometimes we don't know what we need. I would have never been able to tell you where I am now based on the way things were just a year ago or 2 years ago. I can look back and see things that didn't know what to ask God for, didn't know exactly what to say to the Lord, but God was there and the Holy Spirit was there, and he provided everything that he wanted to be manifested in our lives, and he will do that for you if he loves you that much. But notice this. Now, we've looked at Romans 8:26, verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit. He knows the mind of the Spirit, the one who searches the heart, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's awesome. The Holy Spirit can get your prayer through to get you into the will of God for where you're going and where you're heading. Isn't that awesome? You can trust God with your future. You can trust him with your present. You can trust him with your past because he covered your past already with the blood of Jesus. And he covers your present with the Holy Spirit, and he promises you the future that he has laid up for you through the prayers of the Holy Spirit and the prayers of the saints. You're going to pray as far till you get to the end, but God the Holy Spirit will take you on through until you're praying into the will of God. And we know, notice this, Romans 8:28, this is a very famous verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called, notice that, according to his purpose. God says that if I called you, I have a purpose for you, much like he had a purpose for that child that Hannah prayed for. She didn't realize the purpose of her son, that it would be within the will and the plan of God. See that? She just know I want a son right now because my life is jacked up here. And I got a husband that doesn't understand what I really need. And so she began to pour out her soul for her needs. And the intercession of the Spirit brought forth the will of God for the whole world through her prayer. And so that can happen to you and me because God is working everything together, whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, an ugly thing, all things, it says there in Romans 8:28, work together for good to the ones that love God, to the ones that are the called. When God has called you, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose. There is something in your life that must needs be done, and God is the one who has called you to that thing, whatever it is. And he is the one going to work it out. He works all things together for our good and for his glory. He's going to get the glory when it's all done, but he works it out in time for me and you. Now notice this. This is where we got to get here before we can move along. Our time's burning quickly here this morning. But I want you to see that verse 29 says, for whom he did foreknow. In other words, way in eternity. That term foreknow means God's intention to have a relationship with people that he knew all the way back. It's a word for intimacy. He desired to have intimacy with a group of people in the world, and he foreknew them. In other words, long ago before anything was made. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God purposed the birth of Christ along with the birth of all the sons of glory that would come through because of Christ. In other words, people who trust Christ, who believe in him, are also adopted or children of God by faith. And God is the one who has set all this up even before the foundation of the world. Isn't that awesome, beloved? You ever think about that? What I want you to see here, moving on to verse 30, says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So God speaks even in the past tense about all these things because in the mind of God, they are done. You and I have to come to understand that. In the mind of God, our salvation is done. So we're on the road. We're moving towards something that God has already ordained, that he has put clearly in his word so that you and I can have comfort, the comfort of the scriptures, and learn to yield more to the Holy Spirit of God. So let's back up and take a look here now, considering God's children are selected by him and realize that it is only by his love and mercy that survival in the sin-cursed world can exist. In other words, because of all the sin and degradation in the world, it's only through God's love and mercy that anyone ever gets saved. You know that? God calls us out of a pit of sin. He's the only one that can make you change your mind and stop doing some things that are destructive to your life. He's the only one that can restore to you the years at the locust of Eden, to go back and give you back stuff that you lost and help you to find a new hope for the future. God is the one who does that. So God's children are selected by him, and they realize that it is only by his love and his mercy that survival in the sin-cursed world can exist, and that it is to his praise and his glory, not for personal elevation, but for God's praise alone. All the things we do are for his praise and for his glory once we begin to walk in the Spirit. Just as David, the king, in the psalmist shows us in many of the psalms, but here in Psalms 36, which is another psalm of God's favor and mercy and grace. See, it's God's favor, his mercy, and his grace that lifts me and you up off the dunghill, as one writer says, and sets us into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So God only has stubborn sinners to work with due to the depth of indwelling sin and its devastating impact on man. That's a statement. That's all he has to work with because everybody is in sin. Everybody has problems with issues in their life. Everybody has imperfect understanding. And so God is working with that. But notice here in Romans 10, for there is no difference. The Jews used to elevate themselves and get kind of prideful about it, which was not a good thing because they really had issues too. And so Romans 10, the Apostle Paul, who is a Jew who would basically repented from the fact that they thought so much of themselves and so little of others, and he began to understand things correctly when he got a good understanding because God led him to repentance and showed Paul, who was that before he got saved, he was Saul. He showed him the purpose for which you have been born. He told Saul of Tarsus, who is the Apostle Paul, that before you were born, I sanctified you to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Wow. He's a great example of predestination. The fact that he was on the wrong track, going against the will of God. He was a prideful Jew who thought only the Jewish people were being saved without realizing that in the Old Testament, many Gentiles were saved. God showed them right in the Word that there were many. There was Ruth. There was Rahab. There were so many in the Old Testament that were saved. And they should have had enough evidence to know that God is no respecter of persons. And so Saul of Tarsus had to come and understand that as he went to destroy God's church in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. So Romans 10, he's already woke up now in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has begun to minister to him and teach him what the Scriptures really mean in the Old Testament. So Romans 10, we can get a glimpse here in verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's an Old Testament quote. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, God sends people out to preach the good news. That's why I'm here with you today. I'm preaching to you the good news that God loves you. He has come and sent his word to heal you. The Scripture says God's word will heal you because it's the word. That's why he says, how can they hear without a preacher? Preaching is necessary. We need preaching to wake us up on so many things and get us moving in the right direction. And preaching the word, that's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and will turn aside to myths. See, people want to hear good little stories and all that. But what you and I need is the word. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. So we want to stay on the right track. But he says, how can they hear except without a preacher? You need someone to preach. Preaching is necessary. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So God sends the preachers out and puts them everywhere, all through the world, to preach good news to not only the saved, but also to the lost. Why does he do it? To wake them up. When he wakes them up, he gives them faith. The Scripture goes on to say in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is why we preach the word of God, because we want people to hear it, and God will give you faith. The faith is a gift from God. It is not something we generate ourselves. That's why Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have nothing to boast about. God uses the vehicle of his word to preach to the lost, to give them faith so that they can believe, because he foreknew them, those who were saved from the foundation of the world. He predestined them to be saved. He has a purpose for you in your life, and he will minister to you and fill in even the lack that we have in our spiritual understanding by the groanings and the intercession of the Holy Spirit. So God is helping you in every way, and he's doing it because he has a course for your life that will redound to his glory and his praise when it's all over. Hallelujah. Give him some praise right now. And I'm so glad about it, because nobody, no man would mess it up if there was any way that we could deal with it. And I want to give you one more verse here to put on with that. And it is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And it doesn't just happen once. It happens over and over. God constantly is leading me and you to deeper repentance, because there's always something in our life that needs to be fixed. There's something we haven't realized that needs changing. But God, the Holy Spirit, is there on board. He's praying on your behalf. He's guiding us and leading us to repentance. He's even grieved, and we can sense that grief of the Holy Spirit when we don't do things right. And so it's the Holy Spirit in your life, and this is a whole plan that God had for your salvation and mine. And he says this in Romans 2 and 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It's the kindness of God that leads me and you to repentance. It's the fact that he is so good. He is so merciful. And he is so kind. And he loves you. His love is real. It's the most real love you have ever experienced. So the Apostle Paul was teaching on the character of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8 chapter. And he states that we as fallen, broken sinners could never muster up the desire to approach God on our own, but that it is God, the Holy Spirit, who provides the assistance to draw us to God's love and grace and intercedes for us to bring us unto salvation, which God has set in motion before the foundation of the world. So you are a product of something God thought about before the world began, and he has gotten into your life. I hope if you're here today and you have never thought about this, that you understand God loves you. He has called you. He has blessed you. He's given his son for you. He raised him out the grave so that even the most horrible thing you and I can experience or even know about is death. He said, that's fixed. I fixed it already. So you know what? If I could fix death, guess what? I can fix your life. I can fix anything in your life because I fixed death in the grave, that you don't have to worry about it. So I can fix any broken thing in your life. It's by my grace and by faith in my son, who I've made the most famous human being on planet Earth. And he is, I don't care what anybody else is. The truth is the world is divided by the risen son, Jesus the Christ. And so he is the most famous. And, you know, we don't have any scientists that can boast beyond what God has already shown us through his son, who was risen from the dead. So God's sovereignty set in motion what theologians have called the golden chain. That's what we call that section in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And them whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. And that's the truth. And so we need to understand that. So God's sovereignty was set in motion here, we see it. And he expresses that idea through the golden chain with God's elect. This is where it ends now. We're going to come to the end here. Our time is about gone. But where it ends is we all receive a golden crown as we see the church lifted up out of the earth in the book of Revelation. And they're all seated on thrones. There are 12 thrones on either side. 24 elders, the scripture says, which describes Old Testament saints and New Testament saints all seated on thrones, and God has given them a golden crown on their head. And there's one seated in the midst, and he is the only one that was worthy to break the seals and open up Revelation and let people know about the coronation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what do those elders do? They come right down off those thrones of glory. They take those crowns off their heads and they cast them at the feet of Jesus, because he alone is worthy. And all the glory, all the majesty, all the power, all the dominion goes to him. And we celebrate him and worship him forever and ever. And that's the image we see there, which is the conclusion of this revelation of the manifestation of Christ in us. We're all heading somewhere in a direction toward giving glory to the Most High God through his Son, Jesus the Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we hope you understand that. Now, all that sounds complicated, but just before we dismiss, I want to speak to you who may be listening today who are not saved. You have not declared that you are saved. I want you to know God loves you exactly the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants to save you, and he will do it. All you have to do is trust in him and believe the good news. That's why we preach the word, because it's the word that gives you faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if you'd like to be saved, if God is calling you and wooing you to his side, pray with me right now in these final minutes. And I want you to know God will save you. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Trust God. Take his gift. Realize it is a free gift. He's given Christ for you. He's raised him from the dead, so your worst problem is already dealt with. So you know what? He can deal with every other issue that you have going on in your life. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you gave him for us, that you are granting us repentance. Right now, you are granting us faith. Right now, Father, to believe a little deeper and a little bit more. And somebody maybe even for the first time is accepting your son as their personal Savior. And Father, we thank you for the revelation that your word has given us today, Father. And we ask you to take this word that's implanted in our spirits now. And Father, we ask you to save that person that's praying right now. Draw them and lead them to the church that they might come and be baptized and be obedient to your first command. To be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Christ. And Father, we ask you to bless the rest of us who are praying with you right now with a deeper, richer understanding of this glorious promise that you have placed in your word, that you have called us even from eternity past, that we might be the men and women of God, that you will manifest your purposes in this world through the use of our lives, Lord God. Father, we want to thank you for just a promise like that. It's so awesome. Use us today, Lord God. Use us from now on, Lord God, that we might lift up a word about your son, Jesus, and help other people come to understand your grace and your mercy. Father, we ask special blessings on those who are praying right now, that you would bless each home, each family, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Bless the little children, Lord God, and permit them to be saved also, Lord God. And bless those that are old and stricken in years, Lord God, that they might continue to press on in your name. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. And it's in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, that we pray. And all the church said together, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We'd like to give you an invitation to join us when we are back in regular service. That